Welcome to Christ Church Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com. My home is not on this
earth, not in this world. Everybody has heard of heaven, right? Outside of the church, people who would not call themselves religion, they've heard of heaven, and they probably generally know in the Western world that Christians have this idea that we will spend eternity with God. Everyone kind of knows about this idea of heaven and eternity with God, I think. I wonder what your expectations are of this eternity, of this afterlife. Here this morning, you might be someone who calls yourself a Christian, you might not. I wonder what your expectations or your views of this are. You've probably seen kind of this cliche kind of picture that we sometimes see in cartoons, right, of people kind of living like on clouds, and God is there and he has a big white beard and that kind of thing. If you saw that picture now, you would know that, oh, that's referring to heaven, right? We've got these kind of pictures in popular culture, and sometimes I think as believers we can look at eternity and we can look at this eternity with God that we look forward to, and it can seem like quite an abstract thing. But actually the Bible is reasonably specific, okay, about what is going to happen in the future. And so at the moment we're going through a series, it's the second week of four, where we look at what the Bible says about eternity and about the future. Actually, what has God said to us as believers? What has God said that we can look forward to in the future? And so last week, Andy Wisdom began this series, and he talked about Jesus returning, Jesus coming back. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at one of the things that the Bible says will happen immediately after Jesus returns, okay? An event that will happen immediately after Jesus comes back to earth. And so we're going to go through loads of scripture this morning, loads of different Bible verses, and initially I'm going to read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and all the scripture is going to be up on the screen behind me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14-17, I'm going to read from. Since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we'll be with the Lord forever. And so in these verses and elsewhere in the New Testament, Paul describes something known as the resurrection of the dead, this event where all Christians will be raised up. And so this morning we're going to be looking at this topic. What is this? Why is this a great thing to look forward to? And we're going to look at this. I've got kind of 3 points that I'm going to use to look at this topic of the resurrection of the dead, okay? And so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to see that the resurrection of the dead, this event, actually it follows in the pattern of Jesus' resurrection, okay? So the resurrection of believers follows the pattern of Jesus' resurrection. That's the first thing we're going to see. The second thing we're going to see is actually this resurrection of the dead is death-defeating for believers. It's death-defeating. And the third thing we're going to see is that the resurrection of the dead is life-changing. It's death-defeating and it's life-changing. And ultimately, I hope what you're going to see this morning is this is an awesome thing. It's an awesome promise from God. It's a great source of hope and peace for you if you grasp it today as a believer. And so, hopefully you'll leave here excited and with a greater love for Jesus this morning. So let's get into it. Let's see, first of all, how the resurrection of the dead will follow the pattern of Jesus' resurrection, okay? So before I get into that, you might be here this morning, you might not know what Jesus' resurrection is or is about, right? This might be a new concept for you. So I'm going to just, in 40 seconds-ish, I'm going to quickly explain the gospel story, okay? So first of all, God created us to be his image bearers and to be in relationship with God. But we turned away from that relationship, okay? People actually decided they wanted to live for their own glory and do their own thing. And God calls this sin. And the thing is, God is a just God. He can't sweep all our wrongdoing under the carpet. He can't just ignore it and say it's fine. Actually, it needs to be dealt with. There needs to be a price paid for that wrongdoing in order to cancel it out. But we couldn't do that ourselves, so God sent his son, Jesus. Jesus, who was God, lived a perfect life. He was nailed to a cross by the Romans. He was killed. And through dying on the cross, actually, Jesus willingly took the punishment for our sins. So those that choose to follow Jesus, actually, their sins, that wrongdoing, could be cancelled out. And so God's justice would be satisfied. But actually, it doesn't end there, because on the third day, what we read in Scripture is after Jesus was nailed to the cross, after the Romans put a spear through his side and verified that he was dead and he was buried in a tomb, on the third day, his followers found that he was risen, he was resurrected. And so when we talk about Jesus' resurrection, that's what we're talking about, Jesus rising from the dead. And so let's read a little bit about this in 1 Corinthians 15, because if the resurrection from the dead, if our future resurrection follows the pattern of Jesus' resurrection, we need to look at Jesus' resurrection first, okay? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 23, they say this, "Tell me this," this is Paul writing, "since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying that there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our teaching and preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there's no resurrection of the dead." And it sounds like it goes around in circles here almost. He's laboring the point. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we're more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. He's the first of a great harvest. Jesus' resurrection was the first. Our resurrection will follow that resurrection in as part of that great harvest. It will follow the pattern of Jesus' resurrection. So what will this resurrection be like? Will it be kind of ethereal, right? Will we be resurrected so that we can float around in the clouds, disembodied, just purely spiritual without physical bodies? Is that what it will be like? Perhaps that's what you think. I think that outside of the church, that's what people think we believe. Well, what does Scripture say? Philippians 3, verses 20, 21. "Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself." So it talks of a body, talks of Jesus' body and our resurrection body. What do the Gospels say about Jesus' resurrection body if ours is going to be like his? Let's look at Luke chapter 24. So before I read these verses, okay, I'll give you a bit of context. On the third day after Jesus was killed, some of his followers went to visit his tomb where he was buried. And what they found was the stone had been rolled away. Jesus' body wasn't there. And then throughout that day, Jesus began appearing to his followers. His followers met him after he'd been killed. Look at Luke 24, 37 to 43. "Jesus appeared to his disciples and they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost." You'd be pretty scared, right? You know, there are a lot of Jewish messianic figures around this point and they all got killed. Jesus is the only one that got resurrected. They were pretty surprised by this. He said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. Still have the scars from the nails. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Jesus' resurrection body was flesh and bones. When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish and he took it and ate it in their presence. Jesus was resurrected with a physical body, flesh and bones. And our resurrection will follow in the pattern of Jesus' resurrection. So we will have a physical body. All believers who have died, you know, the ones we read about in the Bibles, the ones we have lost more recently, the ones that we will lose during our lives, actually they'll be raised up with new bodies. And so will we. And because our resurrection will follow in the pattern of Jesus' resurrection, this should give us faith, right? This should give us belief. Actually, because of the fact of Jesus' resurrection, we should have faith for our own resurrection, for those other believers that we have lost also to be raised up. Because look, maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, well, I don't know if I believe in Jesus' resurrection, so that's irrelevant. Well, you know, let me just encourage you. I mentioned before, actually, you know, around Jesus' time, there are a lot of people who claim to be this Messiah that the Jews were awaiting. There are a lot of people. You've never heard of the rest of them. You've only heard of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, many of whom are still alive. This is why you've heard of Jesus Christ. Because he didn't just die and fade away and his believers give up. Actually, he rose from the dead. His believers saw him resurrected. They devoted their lives to telling people that he was resurrected, to preaching the gospel. Most of them were killed for that, the apostles. Actually, Jesus Christ was truly resurrected. And the fact of his resurrection can give you faith that actually you will be resurrected in a new body. That actually those who we have lost will be resurrected if they're believers in new bodies. So that's the first point. Our resurrection will follow the pattern of Jesus' resurrection. We'll have new physical, renewed bodies. And actually, Jesus' resurrection, the fact of Jesus' resurrection, should give us faith for the resurrection of the dead. My second point is this, that the resurrection of the dead is death defeating for Christians. It's death defeating. Which is a big statement, because death is the worst thing that this world has to throw at us, isn't it? Death is the worst thing in this world, and yet it is pretty much a certainty, isn't it? You've probably heard that quote, there are two certainties in this world, death and taxes, right? You heard that? Actually, unless Jesus returns first, one day I will die. It could be in 50 years' time, it could be this afternoon. But actually, one day, unless Jesus comes first, that will happen to me and it will happen to you. Actually, death and decay mark this world, don't they? You know, I know that a number of you have experienced death unexpectedly close to you. You know, recently one of the leaders of this church suddenly died. And, you know, this is something that we live with in this world. Actually, as I was writing this part of the sermon, I put it in as I received a message that an old friend of mine, about 40 years old, suddenly had a stroke. This guy has a wife and a young child, and he's in hospital now. He's not doing great. But, you know, these kind of stories, they're familiar to us, aren't they? This world is marked by death and decay. You know, you may know that in some parts of the world where healthcare works differently, you'll have a family, one of them will get really sick, and they'll have to pay for that healthcare themselves, right? And so they'll sell their house, they'll sell all their possessions, they'll get into huge debt, they'll bankrupt themselves to try and avoid death, because death, it's just the worst thing. Bankruptcy might be bad, but death is worse. Death is the worst thing that this world has to throw at us, isn't it? And yet I'm saying that this resurrection of the dead is death defeating. How can Paul, in Philippians 1:21, say this? For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. How can Paul say that? Paul was imprisoned. He was confronted by the threat of death. Actually, we think that Paul was killed for preaching the gospel, and yet he said to die is gain. I think Philippians 1:23, a couple of verses later, gives us an idea of how Paul was able to say this when he said, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Actually, what Paul was doing was he was looking ahead. What's the other side of death? And in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said this, then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? See, as believers, we are in the unique position of being able to look at the worst thing that the world has to throw at us, death, and actually knowing that we don't have to fear it. I read one quote from a believer who said this, how strange this fear of death is. We are never frightened at a sunset. You know, for believers, death, it isn't shrouded in mystery. It isn't dark. It isn't terminal. Actually, we can look beyond it. One of the writers at Desiring God said this, God's purpose for us is to pray, is to raise our bodies from the dead and to make them new, beautiful, healthy, and strong. His final purpose is not to take us away from the earth to spend eternity in heaven, but to make a new heaven and a new earth where we will live in happiness forever. And we'll hear more about that new earth in a couple of weeks' time from Colin. But actually, as believers, we can look beyond death. And, you know, this resurrection of the dead, this future that God promises us, for us, it can give us great hope, right? As we process death ourselves, for ourselves, and we confront it and face it in our own lives. But also, I believe this can be a great comfort to us when we process the death of other believers. And I believe this can be a great comfort for you. 1 Thessalonians 14, when Paul was writing to the church there, because, you know, they were experiencing people getting killed in their church, Paul said this, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope, because we have hope. He said, for since we believe that Jesus died and was rose to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. And you see how Paul is actually using this to really encourage people and give hope to people who have lost other believers. It's a wonderful truth for us to live with. And yet it's still painful and we still do grieve. Again, Desiring God author wrote this, our sorrows at the death of a believer are joyful sorrows, and our rejoicing at the death of a believer is a sorrowful rejoicing. Our sorrow is not hopeless and our joy is not flippant. The joy hurts and the sorrow is softened with invincible hope. Still hurts, but actually there's hope. There's hope that we have. And so the resurrection of the dead is death defeating. It is death defeating for believers. And the third thing I want us to look at is that actually the resurrection of the dead is death defeating, but it is also life changing. Because when death is defeated, life changes. I'm going to explain with an illustration, okay? So imagine there's a job that needs doing, okay? And this is the job, okay? You have a hammer, a nail, and two pieces of wood. And you take the hammer and you hit the nail through the two pieces of wood. And then you hand it over to the next person who does the next part of the job, right? That's a pretty boring job, okay? Now, I'm gonna invite two people to do this job metaphorically, okay? The first person, I'm going to say, this is the job. You take the hammer, you take the nail, you hammer it through the two bits of wood. You pass it to the next guy. You're going to do this for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. And I'm going to pay you minimum wage. Now, that's pretty flipping boring, right? I think you might last a few days, you might last a few weeks, I feel like, you know, someone with amazing capacity for labour like Stuart McGregor maybe would last several months. I would not last very long. Now, imagine that I offer someone else this same job and I say, you're going to take the nail, you're going to hammer the nail through these two bits of wood, you're going to pass them to the guy next to you, and then after 12 months, I'm going to give you £50 million. That's a pretty different proposition, right? I think I could do that. I wouldn't even be thinking about the nail and the two bits of wood. I'd be thinking, this is where I'm going to live. This is where I'm going to go on holiday. This is going to be awesome when I get this £50 million. You see, actually, the way we view the future affects the way that we view and process the present. And when we look forward to what God has promised us in eternity, actually, it can give us real capacity and peace and hope in this life. Have you ever noticed how much of the New Testament is written to churches that are being persecuted? How a lot of the New Testament letters are written to churches in places where Christianity is illegal. And we actually see this in the world today, right? So Iran's been in the news a lot recently. And perhaps you know that in Iran, their law is based on Sharia, okay, Islamic law. Now, one aspect of Sharia is that apostasy, so no longer being, so abandoning your Muslim faith, that's punishable by death under Sharia. And at times that's been enforced in Iran over the past 10 or 15 years, okay? And yet, in that environment, there's a growing church. There are people giving their lives to Jesus. There are people in this church across our congregations who got saved in Iran, right? We see a church growing in this environment where it's really dangerous to be a Christian, where people get locked up, where the secret police raid houses. How is this possible? How is it possible to sign up to a life of suffering like that? There's this famous quote, Billy Graham is, I like it, but maybe it's quite dark. You're born, you suffer, you die. Fortunately, there's a loophole. Okay, actually, these guys are more focused on the loophole than they are on the, you know, you're born, you suffer, you die part. Actually, I think by looking forward to eternity, by looking forward to what comes next, to what God has promised us, actually, it can give us amazing capacity in this life. It can change our lives. Actually, looking forward to this resurrection, this eternity, is life-changing. I wonder, you know, for you, we're all different. I wonder for you, what things in your life kind of make you fearful? What things make you anxious? What things make you worried? You know, it could be health, could be finance, relationship, work, study, could be death. These things could be weighing over you in your life. Actually, I want to encourage you to look forward. I want to encourage you to look forward. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 again. Paul says, let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. I really believe that actually by looking forward to these good things that God has promised us, that he's given us an idea and a picture of through the New Testament, that actually we can get a hope and a peace and a perspective on life and death which is really life-changing. Because for me, those worries, the worries that I have, which will be slightly different to some of your worries, perhaps, but they shrink when I look to this stuff, right? This perspective where I'm looking forward to eternity, when I'm looking at what Jesus is going to do when he comes back, what we look forward to as believers, actually, I'm like, yeah, those other things aren't so big, actually. So just let me encourage you, look forward. Look to what God has promised you in eternity. Look forward to the resurrection of the dead, because it's not just death defeating, it is life changing. The resurrection of the dead is life changing. So I'm going to wrap this up in a moment. Jesus is going to return. One day Jesus will return. And when he does, all believers will be raised up in new bodies. New bodies that will not decay, will not get sick, will not ache. Actually, Jesus, who created this creation for his own glory, who defined and decided its laws and its rules, he will make a new creation. And all believers will be raised up. And because of the fact of Jesus' resurrection, we can have faith in this. Because this is a continuation of Jesus' resurrection. Our resurrection will follow the pattern of Jesus' resurrection. And this resurrection is death defeating. Because we know that on the other side of resurrection, on the other side of this resurrection, actually, we've got great things to look forward to. We know that this is a sunset, not an end. And this resurrection is life-changing, actually, because when we look forward to the good things in the future, it changes our perspective on the present. And so this is really good news. I really hope that this is something that can bring you hope and peace and excitement and just a renewed perspective in your life. Let me encourage you to just keep looking forward to the good things that God has promised you. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to hear about kind of another event that happens, that is going to happen when Jesus returns. And then a couple of weeks' time, Colin's going to talk about just what eternity is going to look like according to Scripture. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to finish. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to earth and you made a way for us to be made right with the Father. Jesus, you are awesome. You died willingly on the cross for us, and we thank you for that, Jesus. And we just acknowledge that, Jesus, you have power over death. We know that because you rose from the dead. That's why we're here today. That's why we know who you are, Jesus Christ, because you were resurrected. And Lord Jesus, we just pray, help us to look forward to what you have promised us. And Lord, we pray that that would actually change our lives as well. Lord, that this eternal perspective would give us a peace and a hope and a capacity in this life which would enable us to do great things for you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen.